Open the House Committee on Rules for Tuesday, March 4th, 2014. Happy Mardi Gras to everybody. That's Fat Tuesday, for those that don't know French. So, I'd like to open a work session on SCR 206. Erin, will you describe the...
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, SCR 206 establishes deadlines for pre-session filed legislative measures for 2015 regular session of the 78th Legislative Assembly. It comes due with no revenue, no fiscal impact, and a unanimous support of the Senate.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 206 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Holvey moves SCR 206 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? If not, the motion passes and SCR 206 is adopted. Carrier,
what is this? It's timelines.
Oh, it's timelines. I'll be the carrier. And I'll close work session on SCR 206. Okay, so we're going to... Why don't I just be in recess?
Yep, that's where we're going.
Okay, committee will now be in recess until 5:30. 5:30 p.m.? 5:30. To reconvene the House Committee on Rules for March 4th, 2014. And open a work session on Senate Bill 1531. And why don't you talk about the... Yeah, why don't you just introduce what we're talking about, and then I'll introduce...
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1531 allows a county to impose restrictions on marijuana facilities and impose reasonable limits on the hours that a medical marijuana facility may operate, reasonable limitations on the hours of operation, reasonable zoning restrictions, and reasonable conditions on the dispensing of medical marijuana, allows the governing body of a city or county to adopt ordinances that prohibit the establishment of medical marijuana facilities or regulate these facilities, prohibits the transfer of marijuana-infused product unless the product is properly packaged, requires Oregon Health Authority to consider the Federal Poison Prevention Packaging Act when adopting regulations for packaging of marijuana-infused product, effective March 1, 2014. You have an A21 amendment. It permits governing body of city or county to adopt ordinance enacting moratorium on operation of registered medical marijuana facilities until May 1, 2015, in areas subject to jurisdiction of city or county. If moratorium is enacted no later than May 1, 2014, clarifies the labeling of products, and... We have a no revenue impact on the B-21. We have a fiscal impact statement issued, and I will be distributing it right now.
Representative Clem, would you like to come up and describe the amendments on the latest mini-grand bargain?
To call it that.
Well, I don't think so.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the record. I'm Brian Clem, State Representative from District 21.
Thank you.
Pleased to talk to you about the Dash 21 amendments. This sort of came about, I think, from a conversation I had with my sheriff, who is a great guy, very helpful, and was able to come over a couple times today and help work on this, along with several other key stakeholders we'll talk about in a moment, but you're probably going to call them up here anyway. So let me just walk you through these. Before we start, let me just say for sort of legislative intent purposes that my city and my county and I feel they already have the authority to essentially ban these medical marijuana dispensaries or marijuana dispensaries. This is an effort to clarify that authority for the next year at least. Well, a moratorium, but they believe they have the authority. This is an effort to clarify that. So Section 2 in the beginning, it comes out of the Senate version and was sort of the compromise reached there. It's a place, time, and manner restrictions. This would certainly be relevant for cities that don't choose to opt out of the dispensary allowance, and they are going to have them. This would give them the tools to regulate place, time, and manner of the dispensaries. So that's Section 2. Section 3 is the both the time for which a city or county may opt into having a moratorium, May 1st of this year. So until May 1st of this year, they would need to opt in if they want to. And then a sunset of May 1st of 2015 for that moratorium. The next piece, Section 2, makes it very clear that if your city or county opts in and you are still doing it, that it is a you are not getting around the criminal laws about possession and delivery of marijuana. Crystal clear that it's not a gray area. If your city or county opts in, then you are not exempt from the criminal laws. The next two sections are really about making sure the people who paid their money in the last few days for the fee can get their money back. Rules 3 and 4, the governing body of the city of the county notify the health authority. The health authority is the one that took the money, and you'll see in line 16 may refund the fee for those cities or counties that have opted to enact moratoriums. Last but not least, a joint judiciary committee work group between the two judiciary committees throughout the interim, probably starting a little later, though, due to issues that will come up later, like as this rolls out, what issues come up, the ballot measure, what happens if that passes, is this even, you know, the model that's going to be in place anymore? Do we have to start over and talk about fully legalized marijuana at that point? And what does that mean? So that work group would be meeting during the interim in advance of the 2015 session, knowing that we've got a May 1 cutoff if we're going to make changes to what we're doing in this bill, either remove the sunset or something else. I think the only other piece, it's not really in here because it's in the B engrossed bill, which is what is sitting in front of you before you adopt this, but that deals with some language around packaging, and we have in the amendment you'll see down on page 2, lines 24 to 27, it talks about child-resistant safety packaging. In the B engrossed version, there's also language about kind of marketing at children, and not just child-resistant for safety purposes, but the marketing. And so that would remain, as this would be added onto the bill. It's not a gut and stuff. And then those issues together give general guidance to the health authority to work that out by rule. We were concerned that if you itemized all of the things that were considered packaging or marketing efforts and you left something off, that might be considered legal when that's not the intent. With that, Madam Chair, I'd like to thank Vice Chair Holvey for participating in these discussions as well, and Senator Przanski and some of the stakeholders I assume you'll call up, but that's the Dash 21 amendments.
All right. Any questions? Representative Harker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Plem, page 2, section 4, about the refunding of fees. Line 16 says the authority may refund any fee. There was discussion earlier today in probably plenty of rooms about the need to refund those fees and to do so promptly. This doesn't seem to achieve those ends unless I'm missing something.
There's, Madam Chair, Representative Harker, there was a notice given to us, and I don't know if it was legislative counsel or someone else, that we might be running afoul of federal money laundering laws if we said shall. So we went with may, and I believe we can get by tomorrow something from probably, you know, the governor's office telling the health authority to do it.
Money laundering. Okay. Hadn't thought of that.
I knew.
Thank you. Just to add a little piece of that, I think Representative Clem's got it right. It was the Department of Justice that had concerns that if we said shall, that it actually would violate some federal rules around money laundering, actually.
Okay.
So the imposed by the authority pursuant to this section gives the OHA the ability to make sure this happens.
And okay. Thank you.
We could sure use some money to launder.
And there is some in this market.
Mark's here.
And there is some in this market.
Okay. Legislative Council, we have some questions.
Mr. Mayor.
Hi, Mark Mayer, Legislative Council, Chair Hoyle, Vice Chair Holvey. Do you have any questions for me regarding the Dash 21 amendments?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. So Section 3, Paragraph 2. Yeah, it says a person who is responsible for or employed by a registered facility located in an area subject to the jurisdiction of a city or county that an exit moratorium is not exempted from the criminal laws, et cetera, et cetera. So can you walk us through the scenario, please, of if a person is working for a facility in Lane County, which has not enacted a moratorium, but Linn County has enacted a moratorium, and the person is trying to get to Portland, which has not enacted a moratorium, is the person subject to the criminal laws of the state of Oregon if they drive up I-5 through Linn County to get to Portland? And again, Linn does have a moratorium, but Lane, where the dispensary is located, and Portland, where the destination is, do not.
Okay, so the medical marijuana dispensary law in and of itself, 475.314, it concerns only the transfer of usable marijuana on site. So that particular scenario doesn't really feed into the moratorium that would be imposed here, because the moratorium would be imposed on the establishment of the site itself at which the transfer can occur. That would require additional protections under the OMMA for purposes of transporting it between different facilities. For instance, if you were a designated caregiver and you had that card, or you're a registry identification card holder and you had that card, in those particular situations, you would need to have additional protections under the OMMA to transport it from site to site. Does that make sense?
It does to me. Okay.
Right. The way that 475.314 is written is only for the transfer of the marijuana at the site itself.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions from the committee?
Down here.
Oh, yes. Representative Jensen.
Why did we select a year?
Maybe 1 year period?
1 year period.
I think it's 13 months, and the reason for that was so that we could come back into the next legislative session, and then May 1st will give us a chance to come back, work on putting together legislation that can get through the House and the Senate to have appropriate statewide legislation to address the issues of the cities and the counties, given the legality. Given the circumstances as we find them then. Yes.
If I can use this particular session as something of an example, I could pick some other sessions I've been here to use.
You've been here for a few.
We have some time period between May 1st of 15 and July, August, September, whenever we got through, that there could be some ambiguity, because the bill might not pass until the waning days of the 15 session.
Well, I don't know that the 1 year was necessarily for just the reason to create new legislation on this. It was also to identify issues that cities or counties may have with implementing this right away, and figuring out what ordinances and what time, place, and manner they want to put in place. So it's just a little bit of breathing room for cities and counties to implement this. I think that there is, as Representative Clem had mentioned, there is going to be a work group with stakeholders looking at the implementation as we're going along to identify what issues cities or counties may have with this, so that they're prepared to, if legislation is needed, get that done. And I think it can be done by, at that point, by May 1st.
Representative Jensen.
I'm sure I'm missing something in this, but I don't follow that as an answer or an adequate answer to the question that I was having.
Representative Clem, do you want to speak to timing?
Is Rob Bovet here?
And what question is, why the May date?
Yes.
Yeah, why not going to the end of session.
Go to the end of the next session.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Jensen. We did talk about that. We had, I think, a kind of delicate negotiation around the date, given the folks who thought they could get going as of yesterday are going to now need to wait, you know, quite a while. And I think coming into session, the discussion was maybe 6 months and then to a year. Then we talked about end of session, which was, would be more like 15 months, like July. And in the negotiations, I think May was a place everybody was comfortable with. It's plenty of time for us to pass a bill if we want to remove the sunset, for example, but also not so far out there that these businesses thinking, can I survive? How long do I have to wait before I get an answer when I can open my doors again? Do I want to sit on the square footage? Because it's kind of a zonal first come, first serve, and if they're going to sit on their license and their investment and hope the outcome goes better for them in their particular city and county, you don't want to put it out so far that you just run out the clock on them anyway. So May was a sort of compromise between a year and 15 months.
Actually, I would propose, I'm sorry.
No, yes, sir.
I would propose a longer period than even the 15 or 16 months. I would propose a period of two or three years. Because it seems like we're going to have all sorts of things happening in all likelihood in this arena. And if this thing is going to work out, why not give people the opportunity to have enough time to be able to deal with the bugs that will inevitably, it seems to me, appear as they do in any other business types of operations.
Madam Chair, Representative Jensen, while I personally don't disagree with you, I want a law, and to get a law signed on this, May is the date that will get us a law versus no law. We could have a bill. We could amend it and have a bill. It won't get all the way through the building, but May 1st will, and then we'll come back and revisit it in the early part of next session officially and in a work group before then. It's the nature of negotiations, I think.
Representative Holden.
Oh,
sorry. Representative Jensen.
I fully recognize the, you know, the need to compromise and need to work together in a lot of these things. But there are times that I would look at something like this and I'd be inclined to say I'd rather have the right law, I'd rather have things than to rush a little bit, you know, beyond where we might need to go. But I do appreciate, you know, what you're saying, and that it was a kind of compromise deal.
And it stops Club Pitbull for the next year, Madam Chair, Rep. Jensen, because my county would like to regulate them, and having a law with a year is better than no bill. And it's important to my district in particular. My sheriff took the time to come over here and participate in this personally, and the sheriffs and the counties, the cities, the chief of police are all supportive of this going forward, as I think they indicated to all of you probably privately. The key was we needed a path through the Senate in this remaining days, and this was a negotiated point that, as I think Vice Chair Holvey could attest to, was the last remaining item, and this got us here in front of you with something that I think can get all the way through in the remaining time. And for those of us who have them brewing in our cities, literally, it's important that we get this all the way through to the governor's desk.
Yes, Representative Jensen.
Yeah, I'm not sure what current sheriff would do in my county. I know what the previous sheriff would like to have done. And he's pretty clear about that, you know, and return to the good old days and use the power of the sheriff's office to get these people out of the county. That's... in your civilized world that you all come from, they probably not an acceptable mode of operation.
Madam Chair, if I might, one thing I should make clear is I have no problem with people using medical marijuana. I had a situation 10 years ago where my father-in-law was dying of cancer, and we went to his doctor, and his doctor said he's going to die. The only thing that might give him an appetite during those last several months is marijuana. If I get that for you, John Ashcroft will take my license. I mean, these were two 80-year-old Japanese guys talking to each other, and I was just sitting there listening. He said, he'll take my license, Susie, so you got to go find some way to find pot. And illegally. And I didn't know how to do that. He didn't know how to do that. He's a farmer from Hood River, and he didn't grow it. So I have no problem with it. As I said on the floor, I think that system, that the medical marijuana program has become a joke, and that the people who I know who have cards and don't deserve them have made it a joke and made it unfortunate for people who are sick who need it. And so I don't want to impugn those personally when I talk about the name Club Pitbull who do need to go somewhere and get their medicine. But on the other hand, I want to see some reform to the system to make it more regulated.
Yes, Representative Jensen, and then Representative
Hulvey. Yes. Just very quickly. I want to be very clear that I have no problems with medical marijuana. As a matter of fact, I have no problems when people are terminal with any narcotic or marijuana, peyote or anything else that might provide them some relief from being available to them. And there are a lot of people who have different opinions on that. We're all entitled to our opinions, but I fully support you and would have exactly the same position as there as you were reflecting. Yeah. And I could cite a couple of chapter and verses where good friends have had serious cancer problems and were benefited by and were not benefited by the availability of, or lack of availability of medical marijuana. So I'll be there to basically fight in the same corner with everybody on that particular issue.
Representative Hulvey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Representative Jensen's point, I don't know that everybody saw the May date was necessarily about future legislation. The May date was to give cities and counties a moratorium so that they could look more closely at their time, manner, and place ordinances and regulations that they would want to put in place. We now have over 30 pages of laws regulating or rules regulating marijuana facilities, statewide rules that are adopted by the Oregon Health Authority that we didn't have until very recently. So we have those rules in place, and we're giving the clarifying that the local governments have this ability to regulate time, manner, and place, and giving them some time to take that in and also develop what kind of ordinances they want to put in place with that. Doesn't really have a lot to do with future legislation that may come around this particular issue. So the tying this to the end of session was, I guess, really not the this wasn't really aimed at future regulate or legislation that may or may not happen. We don't really know. This was about giving cities and local governments time to get their ordinances in place to look at this and figure out how they wanted to do it. And if they wanted a moratorium in the meantime from citing these in their local jurisdiction, this moratorium puts that in place for a year. So I'm supportive of the Dash 21s as written.
Yes, Representative Hicks.
Okay. It seems like we're always talking about preemption. You and Paul and me. Because last year we were talking about preemption.
GMOs.
Exactly. Though that may oddly enough be related, as it did contemplate seed products being preempted by the state. But it gets to a bigger question for either of our witnesses, I think, in regards to this bill. So it seems that this bill answers, or this amendment would answer the question of state preemption in regards to who has the authority regarding these facilities. It seems that we're deciding now that the state basically is the authority and is overriding county. Is that accurate or not?
Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, I would say, as I mentioned in the very beginning, it's actually important to establish, I think, for legislative intent purposes, that There definitely are cities and counties, including mine, who believe they have the authority to do it. This just clarifies how a moratorium would work, and certainly the portions about place, time, and manner are important sideboards that the Senate produced for places that might not choose to even do a moratorium at all.
Reverend Senator Fix.
Thank you, Madam. Let me run this scenario out there then. Okay, so a city, county, does not pass a moratorium but declines to issue a business license to one of these dispensaries on the basis that they have some other provision in their charter or elsewhere that prohibits them issuing licenses to companies that don't abide federal law.
Uh-huh.
So that question would potentially turn on whether it would be whether the issue was preempted at the state level or not. And so if we are now declaring from the state legislature that we have a statewide policy in regards to what counties and cities can and cannot do, then would that basically say if a city, county doesn't pass a moratorium but also doesn't issue a business license, we could then have these businesses operating nevertheless, even without a license, because the state has chosen to preempt the question? We're getting kind of esoteric here, but...
You know, no, I understand.
And I have talked about this.
I think I want to have him answer.
What do you think?
So the Representative Hicks, again, Mark Mayer, Legislative Council, I believe your question is, what if a city or county does not take the opportunity to enact an ordinance imposing a moratorium and then chooses to still refuse to issue one of these business licenses, on grounds that it stands as an obstacle to the... to a federal law, the Federal Controlled Substances Act. Is that correct?
That's right.
That's a particular scenario I haven't considered yet. Normally what I would say is that by speaking directly to the issue as to whether or not a city or county has the power to impose a ban of this sort, that would resolve the issue normally. This moratorium does have a clock that runs out, and I believe that we have issued, I don't know if you've seen it or anybody else is here, but we've spoken to the subject of as to whether or not if a city or county does go to court seeking a mandamus action for a declaratory judgment on this particular matter, what would occur in that circumstance?
Yes.
Is that what you're aiming for here exactly?
Yeah, so not quite. I mean, okay. I guess we haven't gotten quite on point with this yet, and so I'm putting you on the spot. And by all means, we can talk about it afterward if it would be more productive. But what I'm getting at is this, is that so the question of the business license not being issued turns generally on who has the initial authority. In other words, whether the state has preempted this question. So dispensary applies for business license, city declines to issue one. Doesn't have a moratorium, it just declines to issue a business license. The state has passed a law addressing this situation, presumptively, and maybe even in light of the GMO bill, declaring that we preempt county and city authority on these particular questions. So do we then have a scenario where a dispensary is able to operate without a business license, unlike the other businesses in that jurisdiction?
Let me say one thing as well, Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair. We are laying out a clear pathway for cities who want to do it.
Yeah.
The League of Oregon Cities has been fully informed. If one of their members chooses to do that, they are really operating at their own peril, legal peril as well, given we just created a pathway on how to do it. So it's a hypothetical that I hope nobody would ever use, but if it's probably worth exploring.
Right. So, Vice Chair Hicks, because the amendment does address potential legal and administrative pathways for cities and counties to adopt ordinances, a court will always look to those first to see whether or not they have used all those other legal and administrative pathways before addressing some of these other heavier constitutional issues. So that'd be the first question the court looked at, and so long as the amendment that is being incorporated spoke to that issue adequately, the court's going to look at that and say that answers the question insofar as that your question is concerned. Is that helpful?
Correct. It is, and maybe, and I'm not going to belabor this issue too much longer, but I bring it up because of this possible scenario. So this is a hot-button issue in most of the cities and counties of our state, and perhaps the governing authorities of those cities and counties are not going to find it real palatable to, on the one hand, pass the moratorium. They may not be willing to go there. But on the other hand, they are in a little bit of a bind because they probably have something on the books within their business licensing department that prohibits that department from actually issuing licenses to businesses that don't abide federal laws. And so I think it's possible that a city could go both directions on this under that kind of scenario where, you know, city council doesn't pass a moratorium, but the business, whatever department issues business licenses for them, doesn't issue the business license either. That's why I'm asking.
At that point, what would happen procedurally is that if somebody was registered but they were denied a business license, then they could file an injunction in county court in order to attempt to require the county business licensing agency, whatever it's called, to issue a license to them. And then that would, again, get into questions of...
One more and then Representative Holt.
Questions of preemption, which I think this is probably
which gets
doing,
back
right?
into issues of preemption,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm done. Okay.
Vice Chair Holby.
Thank you, Manager. I don't know that I need to go into that any further. I was just thinking about the preemption issues, you know, and I don't think that, you know, everybody's got their opinion whether cities or counties have the ability to ban without this bill in the first place, and you know, if they choose to do so, I think the state's laid out a program, and you know, they would end up going to court, and the courts will decide that based on whatever court case, as you know, they determine. And so the argument is, which court case will they consider in trying to make this decision? So I think we've laid a pathway out for the next year to try to establish a moratorium for cities to help make their decisions on which way they're going to go at this point, and they're going to make that choice. And if they choose to challenge this and think that they can commandeer the federal laws and bring them into their local governments around the state, you know, I think they're that's their decision, and they're going to have to be ready for that, I believe.
May I say one more thing about that? It is important that courts decide these particular issues involving preemption, because that's not necessarily a city or county's purview. It's not their, mm-hmm. It's not within their purview to decide what state law stands as an obstacle to federal law. Our office has been very consistent throughout this entire process, trying to state that the appropriate thing to do is, if you're a facility, to seek an injunction. If you're a county or city, to file a mandamus action for declaratory judgment in order to get court resolution of this problem. Hopefully, obviously, by setting forth some of these legal ways of handling it in state statute, those issues don't go before the court. It gives people an opportunity to use the state process prior to having to go to court for that. So,
thanks.
Anybody else? All right, is there, thank you so much. Very much appreciate it. I don't think there's any further questions for either of you. But this is not a public hearing, but since it's the first time we've seen this amendment, is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to it? Mr. Campbell, and then, what is it? Mr. Honeyman.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kevin Campbell. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. I think it's safe to say that, you know, our hope was that the Be and Gross version would move forward, but we live in a legislative process where we live within the realm of possible, and we understood that the pathway here on the Be and Gross version of the bill didn't look very promising. So we've been willing to engage in a conversation regarding what options we have, and so the amendment before you is one that we've had conversation about. There's a couple things I wanted to clarify that I think are very important from a local government perspective. The first is that we really believe firmly that local government does have the ability to regulate or ban right now. This language clarifies for us that ability. And so that is our view of the of what this law does. It gives us a year of certainty from a state perspective, but it doesn't become any less certain for us in the future once the ban is gone and a city or a county decides to continue with that ban. We believe in that case, this would move to a judicial process. We expect that, and we've already expected that. And in fact, there's been a case already filed in Medford where they are denying a dispensary, and the dispensary is taking them to court. We believe under federal law, because marijuana is prohibited federally, that ultimately local governments will that federal government law preempts any law down the chain, including state or local government regulation or laws. And so I wanted to be clear on the record that that's our view of this. We do think this provides certainty for a year. It gives this dispensary program a chance to begin to work, and in localities where they determine that dispensaries are appropriate, that they begin to set out the rules and the approach that they're going to take in order to regulate. And in those cities that decide that it's not appropriate for their communities, they would be doing that as well. And so I wanted to put on the record that clarification. I will say that it is our intent to be able to continue to come back to this legislative process in the future and to discuss ongoing ability of local governments to ban. That would be our intent and our wish. I'm speaking from the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police right now, but I think local government partners would agree with us on that. So thank you, Chair and members of the committee, just for giving us a moment to clarify how we view this. I do think that, you know, this gives us a year, and local governments are really having to make difficult decisions about this, and their communities feel strongly, and their leaders feel strongly. And so this is the place we land today, and I feel like this particular bill, as the amendment, if the amendment's adopted, does provide a pathway that I think otherwise was very uncertain. And so thank you for the opportunity to clarify on that.
Thank you so much. Mr. Honeyman.
Representative Hoyle, members of the committee, my name is Craig Honeyman, legislative director for the League of Oregon Cities. Unfortunately, Scott Winkles, who has been my point person on this bill, has a family situation and is unable to be here tonight. He's been the one who's been working with folks like Mr. Campbell and others on this legislation and would be a better spokesperson than I. But if you'll bear with me, I will try to articulate the league's position at this point. First and foremost, I concur with what Mr. Campbell said. Cities believe that notwithstanding any legislation that has gone on ahead of this, the bill that it was passed in 2000 and earlier that created the dispensary registry program or the GMO bill, that neither one of those preempt city authority to regulate and up to including banning these dispensaries. But lawyers obviously can disagree about that. What we were trying to do in our support for the original version of Senate Bill 1531 and the House Judiciary amended version of the same bill is keep all of us out of courts for expensive and protracted litigation. In fact, we're concerned that depending upon how that litigation is brought, and this is what attorneys are telling me, I am not an attorney, but that the whole medical marijuana program, or at least significant aspects of it, could be under some threat if this thing winds up in court. So having said that, we have the Dash 21s in front of us, which I've just seen and I'm trying to become familiar with. I appreciate Representative Clem's walking us through it. I guess I do have a couple of things to point out. First of all, it seems to me that the time limit that we've been given creates sort of a preemption followed by a moratorium followed by a preemption. We're told we have until a date certain, April 1st, I think it is, to enact a moratorium that might have the unintended consequence in the minds of some of you to force cities to act whereas otherwise they may not have. And then, so then we have a year to operate under those cities that choose to ban or regulate. And let me say this, parenthetically. The League of Oregon Cities does not have a position on what cities should do. Our position is let cities do what they wish to do. We have, I can tell you, I've got members of mine, cities, who are all over the map or from one side of the spectrum to the other on this particular issue. So I want you to make sure that you understand that. So we have until for a year, and then a year after that, as the language says, until May 1st, 2015. I assume that means that on May 1st, 2015, any bans that have been put in place go away. That, in our mind, is problematical. It leaves us in the same situation we were in before, facing possible litigation, unless there's additional legislative attention brought to bear, which we will participate in those discussions, obviously. I guess I'd take a little bit of umbrage at a comment that was made a little bit ago about cities commandeering federal law to justify enacting a ban, that they do so at their own risk. I don't know. I mean, I can tell you it's my understanding that cities who would choose to ban a dispensary on the basis of not granting a business license would do so on the basis that that statute or that ordinance that allows them to do that specifically states that one of the criteria for not granting a business license is indeed violation of federal law, that they're not allowed under their own charter, under their own ordinance, to violate federal law. So it's not like we're going to, if that's not the case, if that language isn't there, then certainly an ordinance would have to be enacted amending their business license program to include that if they chose to. So I guess my concern would be just the reverse, that we're looking at a situation here where the state in some manner may be forcing cities to violate federal law. So with that, the other thing I was going to say is there was talk, and maybe this was for purposes of legislative intent and history. You know, if that's the case, I respect that. But I don't see anything in the Dash 21s that mandate a work group before May 1st, 2015. Is that language in here somewhere and I've missed it, or is that just a declaration of intent? With that, I will conclude my remarks, and I thank you for your attention.
Mr. Campbell?
Yeah, Chair Hoyle and members of the committee. The discussion was for the joint, excuse the expression, judiciary committees to form an interim work group so that coming into the 2015 session, we would be coming with recommendations and legislation. It would be probably not initiated until, it wouldn't be initiated in May, it would be initiated later in the year. The dispensary program is rolling up and beginning, and so we want to give it a couple months to begin to take shape before that work group conversation begins. But there is, I believe, a commitment on the part of legislature to create that work group.
And Mr. Campbell, that is my understanding as well. So,
did
Mr. Honeyman, I'm a little confused. You seem a little confused about some things here. I'm a little confused because Mr. Winkle signed off on this, and with the understanding that there really wasn't time to put together, you know, what that task force or work group should be like, but he left knowing that all of us have the intent on working on this because we all have cities and counties and jurisdictions that want to work on it. So Mr. Winkles, who you spoke very highly of previously, operating on your behalf, signed off on an agreement, which, again, is not everything everybody wanted, and it is more than a number of people wanted, but it's something. So given the fact that the path of the bill that you wanted to see is extremely unlikely, and so there would be nothing, and what's been put together in a short period of time by a number of people I'm very grateful to, including the person representing the League of Cities, Mr. Winkles, are you in support, in opposition, or neutral on this bill as it stands, given that the choice is this or likely nothing?
Representative Hoyle, I regret if there's been any breakdown in communication between me and Mr. Winkles. I can tell you that he and I did not discuss the Dash 21s, specifically with regard to the short time period that cities have with regard to implementing a ban, if that's the chosen route. Frankly, our position has been that we would prefer the original the House, the bill that came before you has from the House Judiciary Committee. I don't want to be cavalier here, Representative Hoyle, but if no bill was enacted, we would maintain that the authority to regulate and up to including banning exists with cities. On the other hand, I don't want to sound uncooperative here, but this is an issue of preemption. It is a fundamental issue to cities in the state of Oregon, the cities that I represent. To your question about our position, I'm going to have to check back because now you've created in my mind whether there's some confusion between my what I've articulated and what Mr. Winkle said. So until I get that cleared up, I'm not going to take a position.
Okay, I appreciate that, and it does sound like there's been some confusion and between the person representing your interests and yourself. So maybe once you get caught up and you find that you have a position, you can let us know, and we're looking forward to that.
Certainly. I can tell you, if I may, that the fundamental position and the philosophy underpinning that position that I articulated tonight is shared by Mr. Winkles. What agreement he came to on the Dash 21s, apparently, I may not know.
And again, I think Mr. Campbell stated it very, very well. Although there was a preference for a previous version of the bill, the likelihood of that happening was extremely unlikely, and sometimes living in, you know, we cannot let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and this is at least a starting point that allows us to move forward, that puts puts something together so that we can get legislation that is more helpful, that addresses labeling, that addresses some, you know, ability for cities to work on time, place, and banner and whatnot. So there's a number of things in here that are really good that it would be a shame to walk out of here without. So again, I thank you so much for coming and speaking with us. And again, please thank Mr. Winkles for his work on this.
Will do.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. Becky Strauss here on behalf of the ACLU of Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and thank you for all of those involved in working on this bill all session, all the hard work. I understand this is a compromise, and like all good compromises, no one is completely happy. I would mention that the ACLU and the Chiefs of Police Association strive regularly for opportunities to agree. this isn't one of them. I don't think we've gotten there. From the ACLU perspective, the state occupies wholly the field of medical marijuana regulation, starting with the medical marijuana program on to 3460 and the regulations that have followed. And from a policy perspective, we believe it should stay that way. When this bill was over on the Senate side, we were able to move to neutral on our position on the bill because of the thought that reasonable time, place, and manner regulations seem okay, but we do remain very concerned about the ability of localities to outright ban. And so, again, I understand that this is a compromise to avoid outright bans, and would just state our perspective on this compromise is rather than providing certainty about an ability to ban, really see it as an opportunity for cities and counties to prepare for the inevitability of regulated, above-ground, legitimate operations to provide for patients to have safe access to the medicine they need. And I would just add one more note, if I could, to put in a request to be part of the interim work group.
Thank you. Representative Bonhart.
I thought Vice Chair was going first, but that's
sorry.
Fine.
Oh, sorry.
If I only do one, I get to go first.
Vice Chair.
For Vicki. So time, place, and manner is a First Amendment analysis sent down for the Supreme Court years and years ago. And but this is really not an issue of speech, I think. Right, okay. So this is basically applying to the siting of businesses. And do you have any... Could you provide a little bit of insight, knowing that judges may someday be listening, as to how we appropriated the First Amendment time, place, analysis, time, place, manner analysis to this non-First Amendment question?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Hicks, to be honest, I don't know the answer. I think that throughout this session, the phrase time, place, and manner has been used outside of that context to refer more to the idea of reasonable regulations around how we might regulate any other business. If someone else has kind of done a more connected legal analysis, I welcome that.
I won't put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
It sounds like.
Yes, but you'd have to come up, switch out with somebody.
I'm going to escape
while I get a chance. Well, smart man.
Because I'm asking this because, as I referenced the guys in black robes, I mean, this could be some kind of weird precedent that somebody may be drawing down the line, and I'd like to just get this nailed down right
now.
Well,
part of the Chair Hoyle, Vice Chair Hicks, Vice Chair Holvey, part of the Mark Mayer Ledge Council, apologies, part of the language came from a statute in the OLCC statutes, I believe, Chapter 473. I can't remember what the statute number is. I apologize. But it says that local governments may adopt time, place, and manner regulations of the nuisance kind over the regulation of businesses that sell hard liquor. And when we looked at that, we attempted to kind of conform it a little bit more to what we thought that meant. Reasonable regulations on hours of operation, placement of these establishments within the zones that are named in the statute itself, as well as reasonable regulations over the dispensing of the medical marijuana. There's also a connection between that language and Oregon Supreme Court case law over zoning ordinances and the effect that the effect of certain cities and counties' attempts to pass zoning ordinances for strip clubs. And those, of course, were subject to First Amendment analysis because it was a form of speech. So there's those kind of two sources for that language that have kind of filtered into the discussions as to, you know, this is the kind of amendments that we want. And again, when we drafted the amendments specifically for this bill, for the time, place, and manner, we attempted to kind of clean them up and try to speak a little bit more specifically to what the regulations would actually be for. But anyway, does that answer a question?
Yes. Representative Bonhunt.
Thank you. You know, this whole area is messy right now. It isn't true that the old method of dealing with this was to run them out of town. The old method was that Aunt Hetty's health tonic was perfectly legal, contained 80 proof alcohol and some opium and probably a few other things. And until World War I, it was perfectly legal. More recently, of course, we've had a whole lot of other rules, which I think most of us are more familiar with. Right now, we're in a very strange spot. And I think everybody in the room knows that. We're in a very strange place because we have a completely untenable federal law that even the feds understand is untenable. Look at the 8-point plan from, or the 8-point considerations from the Attorney General to his state prosecutors and what he's talking about there. I would simply note that the amendment that repealed prohibition gave the states the responsibility for regulating alcohol. And in one sense, that's exactly what the Attorney General has done in his interpretation of how the marijuana law should be enforced by the federal government. Because in one of his 8 points is that the state government should prevent the transport of marijuana across state lines. And it should control the illegal distribution, by criminal gangs, and a whole variety of other things, all of which have the effect of establishing the state as the primary mechanism for enforcement of marijuana laws to accomplish the federal goal. And I think there are basically three. One of them is to put the criminal gangs out of business. The second is to prevent minors and other vulnerable people from obtaining this drug. And the third would be to provide revenue for enforcement and for other things, for health and safety kinds of issues, and maybe some slop over money for other things. Now, I admit, on that last point, I am probably reading a little bit in, but then that's the way I do things. But the point here of this is that I am convinced
that the legislature has the responsibility to regulate medical marijuana. We have the responsibility, or the lawmaker, whoever that is in the state of Oregon, that's a little sloppy sometimes too, has the responsibility of regulating recreational marijuana, if we ever get to that point, under this rule. Now, I fully expect, and I challenge anybody to believably claim otherwise, that the federal government isn't going to move eventually to a position which recognizes not only de facto but de jure the actions of the various states in terms of trying to deal with the failure of the war on drugs and the inability of the prohibition system to actually deal with the health and safety issues that we're responsible for. So, yeah, it is messy. Absolutely, it's messy. We're not going to make it unmessy in this session. It isn't going to happen. But what we've got to do is figure out how to do the best we can to do the three things I've said. And I think one more thing, and that is that in the place where we are going to provide for the sale of marijuana for the purposes of medication, that it happens in a way that protects the public who are not involved directly in the transaction, and also that it protects the person who is purchasing it for medical reasons. So that's what this labeling stuff and is all about. These other pieces is all about. So, Madam Chair, I know that there are a lot of hassles with this issue, and I understand the conflict between the cities and the police chiefs of police on the one hand, and those on the other hand who consider it that the state actually has the responsibility and the sovereignty to make these decisions, and that the cities have to take the authority they've got. I will remind you that the authority of counties and cities to prohibit the sale of alcohol depends completely on state law. It is not a reference to anything else. And the fact that no city does that now, but it's completely that it comes from that responsibility. So I would say, if we're going to do a metaphor, if we're going to try to understand this situation, the better approach to understanding the place we actually are in is the alcohol laws and the right and responsibility of the state to regulate health and safety involving the use of alcohol, rather than something else. Now, eventually, this thing will clean up. It isn't going to clean up right now, and we have to figure out how to wind our way through to protect the people of Oregon, to make it possible for people to get the medication that they need, and to put those criminal gangs out of business. So, that's where I am on this. And the filter I'm going to use when I vote on this kind of a bill is what I've just described. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you so much. Now, is there anyone else that has anything else to say about this amendment and this bill as it stands? Well then, let's vote.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 21 amendment to Senate Bill 1531. A. Or B. Should be B.
B. Vice Chair Holvey moves to adopt the Dash 21 amendments to Senate Bill 1531B. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection?
Yes.
Okay. Two objections to adopting these amendments. Do we have to do a roll call?
We sure can.
Or
just ask for it.
What?
Ask
for a roll call.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Excused.
Representative Harker?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Representative Kenemar?
Excused.
Representative Smith Warner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hicks?
Nope.
Vice Chair Holvey?
Aye.
Chair Hoyle?
Aye. All right, the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1531B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Holvey moves Senate Bill 1531B amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes, Representative Hicks.
I serve notice of minority report. We wish to present the engrossed version pre-amendment as a minority report.
Thank you. Okay, will any other discussion? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Berger.
Excused.
Oh, wait. So, wait, we were not going to vote till 2 more. I forgot. Could we just stand at ease for a moment?
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative
Berger. Excuse. Representative Harker.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
No.
Representative
Kennemer. Excused.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hicks.
No.
Chair Holt. Vice Chair Holby.
Aye.
Chair Hoyle.
Aye.
Motion passes.
And
we need to carry on the majority report. We can figure it out later.
We'll have Representative Clem carry it. Close the work session.
Face of marijuana.
Happy and we are adjourned.
Marijuana.
And we are adjourned.